It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Welcome into another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my partner John Heyman, and we are in the thick of the World Series right now. Atlanta Braves hold a 3-2 lead over the Houston Astros after the Astros hang 9 on the Braves in last night's game to get the series back to Houston. And John, Braves had a chance to close it out last night. Now, they've been in this position earlier this year. They had the Dodgers down 3-1. They lose game 5, only to win game 6 and get to this point. Now, they'll have to do it. Now they're going to Houston, though, to try to close this out.
Yeah, you know, I look at it like the Braves did a good job. I mean, they had 2 bullpen games in a row. And even though they're at home, they won 1 out of 2. I understand it was the first one, and they had the chance to clinch last night. They weren't able to do it, so I'm sure there's disappointment. They have to go to Houston. Hostile territory, that's never great, but they only have to win 1 out of 2. You know, and while I picked Houston, and I always stick with my picks, and I can't remember whether I picked 6 or 7 on the podcast last week. I did say 7 on Twitter, so I consider that my official. So I'm still alive. I'm still alive. I'm counting myself as still alive. So hopefully if I picked 6, the tape has been burned. But I got to say, I stick with the pick, but I think the Braves are still in control. You know, I think that, you know, having those 2 games where you're using relief pitchers to start, they're a major disadvantage. They got through them, and now Houston is in that boat. Houston's starting Garcia, but on short rest. You know, even veteran stars who've started on short rest generally don't do as well. Now we've got a guy with immense talent who was really good this year, but is a rookie. Had a great start in the LCS. Good start in the World Series, but short rest. And then what do they do for 7? Unless I'm missing it, they used Urquidy last night. You know, you can come back with Urquidy, I guess, and get a few innings out of him. But, you know, he was used in relief, and he only have 2 days rest. That didn't work for Urias and Scherzer, as we saw. So was it going to work for Urquidy, who's been very good in the World Series in his career? He's basically a World Series pitcher. That's all he's known for. So maybe, and they got the home field, but the pitching with Freed and Anderson lines up nicely for the Braves to me. So I'm not going to be surprised if I'm wrong on this round as well.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. The Braves still are in the driver's seat in this series. They did weather the storm, if you will, on the bullpen days, and they got one, but I will say this, another game for the Astros to play is another game that Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez can get going. Because we've seen this offense do things like this in which they can throw up a 9 spot and then they get hot and then they're just a tough offense to keep down. But it does line up well with Freed and Anderson going. Braves should be able to win this series. Now, should they win this series, John, who do you think's the MVP?
Oh, my God, that's a tough one. Somebody asked me that last night, and, you know, maybe I'm kind of conflating the LCS too, but, you know, Rosario's been pretty good. Yeah. Darno's been pretty good. We'll see what else Freeman does. I mean, I think it's kind of open right now. You know, obviously there's some some momentum for Matzik. People are loving what he's done so far. I doubt it'll be a relief pitcher, though. You know, I think at this point, it's open, but I would say Darnold, Rosario, Freeman, you know, they're all candidates at this point. And you never know what Riley might do. Boy, he's a really good player. I did have an MVP vote. He was on the ballot. I'm not going to reveal where, but I mean, what a terrific player he is too. But their team, I'm just much more impressed by their team than I thought I would be. I did have them in the first round beating Milwaukee. But after that, I didn't see it. I didn't realize it. And give them credit, because last night would have been the game for Charlie Morton. They might have wrapped this up had he not suffered the fractured fibula. And, it was heroic that he kept pitching with a fractured fibula. And,
yeah, crazy.
It's kind of like a Kirk Gibson situation. First game plays the hero and potentially leads the team to the World Series win. We shall see. Two games to go, but, the Braves look pretty good right now.
Yeah, I like Austin Riley or Travis Darnold, the way they've played in this series. It is tempting to say Rosario because he did. It does seem to bleed from the National League Championship Series into the World Series. He had some nice games, though, in the World Series. But I think it's down to Riley or Darnold, and it could be Matzik as well. I mean, he's pitched in enough big moments in this series, but you're right. It's probably not going to a reliever. Now, let's think about the other side of this. The Astros were down 3-1. If they come back and win this series, first of all, how likely do you think it is for a team like the Astros to pull off a comeback like that?
Well, the pitching is against them, and the games are against them. I mean, normally to win two in a row, your chances are 25%, just mathematically speaking, and we're all mathematics experts, analytics guys at this point. We have to be.
Right.
So, I thought they had the better team coming in. Their lineup, I think, is the best in baseball. They scored the most runs. They show good signs. In the last game, they made the right move, moving Bregman down in the lineup. Maybe took a little pressure off Bregman. He certainly had a big hit. But Gurriel and Correa have looked better than him, so I like that move. I still don't think their chances are better than 25%, though. I mean, I know we've seen teams come back. We're old enough to have seen it where teams come back. I'm older than you, but the Royals came back from down 3-1. That was many years ago. The Pirates, I believe, did it down 3-1. We've seen it happen. Somebody did it last year on the Braves. The Dodgers did it on the Braves last year in the LCS. Yeah. It is possible to do it, and now it's only two games, so it's more possible, but at this point, I got to think the Braves have the upper hand.
Yeah, no, the likeliness, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, it's maybe a 4. And it's only because it's the Astros that it's a 4, because their offense is that potent. So, as I said, the Braves still have they have the upper hand. Now, should they lose game 6, now you got a whole different monster on your hand, because anything can happen in game 7, and clearly the momentum shifts to the Astros at that point, playing in their building. So we'll see how that one would be. Now, if that happens, this is something that, fair or unfair, the Braves have kind of, been known for. I don't know about collapsing, but just not being able to finish the job. I mean, what would that mean to the Braves, you think, John?
Yeah, I think that's a little unfair. I mean, I know it's, historically, that's probably true for the organization. But, I mean, these are all different players. They did beat the Dodgers, who did have the best team on paper. They were able to wrap it up after taking a lead. They finished the job there. Look what all they've overcome without Soroka, without Acuna in particular, without Ozuna. Right. I have to give them immense credit for being here. It's not easy. I think at least I'm past the cheating scandal. The Astros are really good. They're a really talented team. The lineup never quits. Their bullpen is outstanding. We talked at all about the great Braves bullpen, how great they're doing with Matzik and Smith, Minter, Jackson. But look at Maton. He's been really good. And Graveman's been really good. And, Obviously, Presley is outstanding. So, you know, that's why I think it even though the starters only throw for an inning or two these days, it may come down to the starters because you got to get through that inning or two. The relievers on both sides are really outstanding at this point. And, yeah. You know, I think that the starting edge, and I know obviously Fried's had two off games in a row, but he gives them an edge in this game. And then certainly, boy, Anderson's been unbelievable in the postseason in his career. I mean, he's basically been a postseason pitcher. He and Urquidy, they're more known for what they've done in October than in the regular season. And it feels like the Braves have the edge right now.
Yeah, both of those guys haven't stayed healthy during the regular season, so they haven't been able to kind of build their own resume at that point. I think if Fried is down in the zone like we've seen him for like the last 2 months of the regular season into the beginning of the postseason, yes, they have an advantage. But if he's up in the zone like he was his last couple starts against this Astros team in that building, it's not going to bode well. They're gonna have a field down. So it depends on what Max Fried got. Now, to be fair, I was speaking historically in terms of the Braves. You're right. This team right
it's
here
fair.
Is
That's fair, it, Tony.
To this team that's on the field now is completely different than those teams in the 90s. And I think personally, I think they answered that bell when they were able to close out the Dodgers in the last series because that was the team that came back from a year before. Now, with the Astros, I'm with you. At this point, they've served their time. There are four guys on that roster, really, that were there at the time, maybe five of the scandal. And we should be past, we should be beyond this at this point because what they have proven is that they're good regardless. They've been the before getting to this World Series, they were in two American League Championship Series in back-to-back years. So clearly, this team is a very good baseball team. And should they pull this off, it only gives them more reason to give everybody the shush signal because they've overcome a lot in this time. And I think they wouldn't be here without Dusty Baker, by the way.
Yes, yes. And maybe I'm naive, but I'm assuming they're not cheating now.
Call us both naive then.
I don't, yeah. In 2019, they got to the World Series Game 7, and we don't have any evidence they were cheating then, but we don't know for sure. Yeah, obviously, 2017, I still give that an asterisk, but, I mean, this nucleus is fantastic. And yeah, Dusty is terrific. Every week we say this, and we feel like we have to. I feel like we have to because he's still unsigned.
Yeah,
I don't get that. What an incredible manager! What an amazing winner! And you know, I think you know, it may not be the perfect marriage. It was a bit arranged marriage. It's an analytics front office. It was with Luno. It remains an analytics driven front office, but they really need to appreciate Dusty and how he got them there. And I mean, I've heard some talk that, you know, when they got to the World Series, he said, well, thank you, Dusty. You've done a great job. We'll take it from here or something to that degree. I don't know, you know, what that means in terms of what he's doing exactly. But I mean, Dusty is going to do what Dusty does, you know, and what he does is great. And I really hope he's appreciated there. If he's not appreciated there, obviously Oakland's not paying the freight, even though that's his hometown team. But the Mets still have an opening. They haven't figured out what they want to do, and we'll talk about that later on the Insider. But, you know, he'd be a great hire for the Mets if they can.
Yeah.
I do think Houston at this point will have to make him an offer.
It would be crazy.
Oh, my God.
It would be crazy if they did.
Crazy. And one more thing that you brought up was about the, you know, the previous Braves regime and those great teams of the 90s and, you know, whether they couldn't close the deal. You know what I'm thinking? You know, all this emphasis on starting pitching and, you know, look at Tampa. They got here with the old bullpen. They didn't make it through, obviously. But all these teams have attrition in the rotation, and particularly these two. You know, these two teams basically have 2.5 starting pitchers each. And here they are battling it to the end. And if the Braves win with 2.5 starters, and I'm counting Morton as only a half at this point, it's a little unfair, but he's unable to go for, you know, certainly wasn't in game five. He's done for this series. You wonder if people are going to reevaluate the value of starting pitching. Somebody paid Bauer $40 million. Obviously he may not be the perfect example, but it's great to have those shutdown starters. But, the Braves had that. They had three Hall of Famers plus Avery, and they only won one World Series. They may win a World Series with 2.5 starters. Good one, really good one. Not Hall of Famers, though. And here the Astros are, and winning on their great nucleus, not on their rotation, so, and their bullpen. So, I mean, the value of the bullpen pieces may go up. Maybe the value of the starters goes down. I don't know. Maybe I'm all wet. It's hard to evaluate how this goes, but it's just shocking. We noticed this early on that none of these teams really had more than three viable starters, even the Dodgers by the end. You know, we thought they had 7 or 8, but with injuries, Scherzer and Bauer situation, and Gonsolin, May, Price, they were down to three starters by the end. And, maybe the Rays are onto something, that the bullpen needs greater emphasis than the rotation. We always favored the Braves all those years, and it only worked out 1 year for them.
I think often we get caught up in the moment.
Yeah, you could be right.
In 19, I think we were saying, man, look what the Nationals have done with the three starters that they have, and very little bullpen help at that time. So it just, I think it depends on the years. It depends on the type of pitchers you have. It may all be a moot point, because if in this collective bargaining agreement, there's some type of rule change where you can only have a certain amount of pitchers, it's going to change the emphasis on how you can navigate your roster or any of those type of things. It may all be a moot point.
Yeah, one thing I'll say about that is the rule changes. If they're going to make a rule change, I would say expand the roster more, because we have so many injuries, and you have all these pitchers. Now, I know we're at the end here, and these teams are feeling they need to get outs, but so much attrition on the pitching side of it. If anything, and they did expand by one, the roster. If anything, I would expand the roster. There's a few rule changes that have come up. We'll talk about that another time, but I'm always in favor of the pitch clock, especially when you have all these games are lasting 4 hours. And as Buck Showalter tells me, we need a hit clock too. It's not just the pitch clock. The hitters take too much time as well. But, I think they have to figure – that's one rule they have to figure out, and there are a few others that came up. They got to figure out the check swing too. Seems to be a guessing game, and it's very unfortunate.
If you're going to add another roster spot, it can't be a pitcher. That's my only thing. It's going to they're going to have to find a way, because you're right. The attrition, especially the way the game is ran now, it's obvious. And if you don't have starting pitching that can navigate you through a season, you're going to run into some problems for the most part. I mean, you look at the teams that are available now, that the Astros, I believe, we're up at towards the top in starting innings pitched in the league. So, you're able to kind of endure a lot more during the regular season. And then once you get to the postseason, I think what we've learned is this may be the best way to go about it and kind of piecemeal it together with a couple starters and be able to get through a couple games. Now, you got to have a good enough offense to pull it off, which both of these teams do. Not every team could get away with it, because they wouldn't be able to score enough runs. It certainly opens up the conversation again. We'll see how that goes. Now, speaking,
I was going to say on that, it just, to me, it was an excellent point about the 2019 Nats and the starting pitching, and they showed their value, no question about it, because they didn't have the pen. They improved their pen a little bit from all-time bad at the beginning, but it was still just okay by the end, and they did it with the starting pitchers. But one thing that's funny about this Astros team, and, they may win the World Series again, they didn't win it when they had Verlander and Cole. Verlander, an all-time great. Cole, one of the best pitchers in the game. And McCullers, as your number three starter, Greinke. They didn't win the World Series then. And they may win it now with, basically a collection of rookies and second-year guys. It's just weird to me. But you're right. It changes year to year. It's just on my mind right now. That's about it.
All right. We're talking about Dusty Baker, who was one of the candidates for the Padres job. Well, that candidacy is no longer because the Padres have filled that position. Bob Melvin, the former Oakland A's manager, takes the job. I believe it sounds like it's going to be a three-year deal. They're going to introduce him today. And, you know, this is a name, John, that came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody was thinking about this. Over 1,300 wins in 18 years as a manager. He's been with the A's. He's been with the Diamondbacks. And by all regards, this guy is a terrific manager. And more importantly, I think, and maybe the most important part for this Padre team, is a very good communicator and has the respect of his locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he's an excellent manager. Give A.J. Preller and company credit for this, to think of this like, I mean, they could see things are kind of falling apart in Oakland. Let's be reasonable about it. I mean, Billy Beane is one of the only guys who really was considering going to the Mets. And why is that? Things are falling apart in Oakland. You know, they have no money. And I know Billy Beane made his bones making good teams on no money, but they really have no money now. And, you know, they were happy to let him interview and would have been happy to let him go. And same with Melvin. They didn't hold him up. They didn't ask for any compensation. They just let him go because they're very happy to save that $4 million. And A.J. Preller took advantage of that and, you know, got a veteran manager. And after two guys who were neophytes, basically, in Green and Tingler, this is the right move for this team. They needed a veteran presence in that locker room. It was a mess last year, as we talked about. That wasn't working, and this is an excellent move. And I give them credit for, you know, acting decisively and doing a great job and getting their man. And, of course, Melvin was a guy who was actually second for the Mets job when Terry Collins got it. Of course, I recommended – at that time I did a story saying they should hire Melvin. Of course, they didn't listen to me. They hired Collins. They did get to the World Series, and he did okay. I'm not saying I was right, but again, the Mets are acting, you know, they're needing to fill some roles, including Matt. We forget they still have to hire a manager too, but they're obviously needing to do a lot of work here.
Now, obviously, as I mentioned, the Padres will introduce Bob Melvin as a manager of the Padres later on today. And this is another move where everybody was thinking right. A.J. Preller's thinking left. Ultimately, we'll see how it works out. I mean, the proof is always on the field and what the results are, because this is a results-based business. All right, speaking of the Mets, let's move into the inside corner, John. And the Mets seem to be having a hard time hiring a GM. It seems like everybody who is on the list either takes themselves out or interviews and says, this is not a good fit.
You're at this point, I can say you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, at the beginning, they were shooting very high, and nobody should be shocked that Theo Epstein didn't take it. We didn't expect him to, or that they didn't get permission to get David Stearns. We didn't expect that. And then ultimately, Billy Beane didn't take it. The Mets felt they had a better chance there with a rapport that Beane has had over three decades with Sandy Alderson, who hired him originally to be the advanced scout for the A's. And obviously, that worked out terrifically for the A's, and Beane became a star. And that's where their hopes were. And it feels like they put all their eggs in that basket, and that basket just fell through completely. And now they're kind of grasping. And, you know, at that time they were saying, we want to get somebody proven to be the baseball president. And now, I mean, you know, I'm not going to cast aspersions, you know, and specifically on anyone, but the general list that's been coming out of names, I haven't even heard of half of these people. No offense. They may be great, but you know, the Mets are relying on Corn Ferry, the search committee, same search committee they used when they hired Jared Porter and Zach Scott. And, you know, they're an experienced search committee. And, you know, they've got a lot of Harvard people on the list. And that's great. You know, there's nothing wrong with Harvard. But, you know, to be the Mets, in charge of Mets, I think you really should be proven. I think their first idea was right. And, you know, maybe they've given up on that. Now they're just looking at the GM. You know, you've got Zach Scott still there, who's got the DUI charge pending. That may be lessened at this point. I mean, he looks pretty good. Many of these names are not nearly as experienced as Zach Scott is. So, you know, I don't know. It's just a feeling they're getting, or the names have good reps. Some of them are, I'm sure, fine people. And I'm sure some of them would be do a good job, and it feels like they're throwing darts at a board and don't really have their aren't really targeting to what they said they were going to target to, which is experience. I mean, two of these guys I do know, and they would never survive in New York, and I applaud them for turning it down, because they probably knew that they wouldn't. But it's sad that they knew and the Mets didn't know. You know, they knew they couldn't make it in New York as a person in charge. If you're, you know, a number three guy in a smaller city and you already are dealing, you know, would never deal with the media, and, you know, you really don't have any experience to speak of other than crunching numbers, that should not be the GM of the New York Mets. I'm sorry. I did hear right recently, Raquel Ferreira from the Red Sox. She has a very good reputation, and I hope they interview her. I think they will. Boston will let her interview, and that'll be something to consider. You know, but some of these other names, I'm not sure where they're getting them. You know, I've mentioned a few people that have taken me up on my choices, but maybe Corn Ferry knows better. I don't know. But right now, they look like they're lost to me.
Yeah, they'll have to figure it out. I will say this: they've tried to go the experience route. There doesn't seem to be anybody out there that either wants the job or can handle the job. So you got to move to what the list is offering, and maybe at this point, the timing of it only leads them down a path where it's some guys with who may not have experience that they might have to take a chance on. But
yeah, one more thing I was going to say on that is, this is a rule change that I would approve of. It seems like teams and people out there don't seem to know this. Teams can reject any request to interview their people, no matter what. Even if they're like the fourth assistant to the traveling secretary and you're asking to be GM, you could still reject that. That rule needs to go. You know, people assume that, you know, owners will do the nice thing and say, oh, the guy can get a promotion and triple his salary and get this great opportunity. Let's give him a chance and see if it works out. You know, the owners aren't going to do that. They didn't get $1 billion by being Mr. Nice Guy. And I think that it should be automatic, because as it stands now, is if you're in that position, the owner doesn't want to give permission, and the guy who's, let's say, the assistant GM wants to interview for a GM job and says so, then he's taking a chance of upsetting the owner, you know. And of course, he's not going to do it. They'll just give him an extension, and everybody will be happy. And you know, maybe that's great for stability or whatever, but it's not great for employees. So I think that rule needs to be changed.
Yeah, maybe so. But that is not unlike the rest of the business world and how you move from one business to the next business. So. Hopefully, if they change it.
Most people don't have multi-year contracts, right? So they can move a little more easily than this.
Yeah, that may be true. That may be true. Either way, on to the next free agency. This may not have the biggest names that, you know, we've seen over the last few years that are involved, but this could go down as one of the deeper free agent markets in terms of what's out there. And there's some good names that have a chance to really change the way teams look coming this free agency. Give me some predicted landing spots and the money they'll get it for.
All right. Well, I will definitely give you the money first. I'll have to remember. I did my landing spots last week, but I'll try to remember where I predicted last week. But I'm set to give you the money.
How about I throw you a name and you give me what you remember? Let's go, Chris Bryant.
Chris Bryant, I picked the Mets for him. You know, he may stay with the Giants, but I'm going to predict that he will get about what the Cubs offered many years ago. Now, he's cashed in a lot of money since then, so not like he should have any regret if he does get this. And again, this is just a prediction. Maybe he'll beat it badly. I don't know, but I think he's going to get around 7 years, $175 million. That's where I would put him. And, I mean, I'm with you. I like the names this year, and it's very, very, very deep. And there are a few big stars. It's a little like 2019. A few years ago, we had a few big ones. You know, we obviously had Strasburg and Cole, Rendon, got some big ones. And this year we have some big position players, some shortstops. So yeah, I think it's a pretty good year, but very deep. I agree with you on that.
One of those short stops had a fantastic season. Marcus Semien with the Blue Jays. Where do you see him going? How much money do you see him making?
Yeah, you know, I picked the last week. I took a little bit of a long shot. I took the Twins because they tried hard for him last year, offering a two-year deal, and he made the right call doing a one-year deal in Toronto. Toronto could easily be the winner here, though. I could see them holding on to him. You know, he just changed agents to Scott Boras. He's a little older than the other shortstops, but I think he's going to get so fewer years, 5 years, but I think he's a $30 million a year player at this point. The year that he had, he's going to be top five MVP. I didn't have that league MVP, but top five. I'm going to say 5 years, $150 million.
Probably, at least in my opinion, the most interesting case on the market this year is Trevor Story. He's coming off a down year. Looked like he may have been a little nicked up, but this is a guy, when 100% healthy, is one of the best shortstops in all of baseball. Where do you see him going? How much you see him getting?
Yeah, Trevor Story, you're right. I think he was a little nicked up. His arm was a little off, but I don't think it's anything serious or long-term. He's a terrific talent, speed, power, 29. Again, like Semien, he's going to have the qualifying offer to deal with. You know, that's minor when you're talking about a player of this ilk. But, I think that the off year is going to hurt him. So I'm going to say 7 years at $210 million. And I've got him going home to the Texas Rangers, but I think Texas is going to get one of these shortstops, and I figure why not the hometown guy?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Qualifying offer, did it go down for like the second year?
It did go down. Yes, it did. Yeah. Teams were a little more reluctant to spend after the COVID situation, and the average salary, that's based on the average salary of, I believe, the top 125 players, $18.4 million. So it went down $400,000.
I think that was a goal accomplished, if you will, for the owners out there.
Yeah, that's why the union is being so tough about the negotiation, and why there's so little hope that this is going to get done by December 1st when it expires.
Yeah, we'll definitely be having that conversation down the line. Now, Javi Baez gets traded from the Cubs to the Mets. It doesn't go, I think, as either side planned. He seems to be really in love with the Cubs still. Is there a possibility he ends up back there?
Yeah, that's my pick. Yeah, I think he might go back to the Cubs, and maybe they'll just redo that deal they were talking about, which was 6 years and around $160 million. That'd be my guess with the Cubs. I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed with the Mets, though. Obviously, Francisco Lindor's got the ear of the people in charge there, and he loves Baez. I think we're past that thumbs down thing. I didn't blame Baez for that at all.
Right.
faced the media, faced the music, and I think he's a good guy. And he actually played well in New York. He did not play well with the Cubs this year, but I do think that if they bring somebody back, it will be him.
I think the slam dunk of the free agency.
I think I know
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman.
Oh my God.
Is there a way you can see him without a Braves uniform on?
I don't see it. I mean, the one thing is he does live in L.A. I think half the year. From Southern California, but I think the Angels are satisfied. They have that young first baseman and Max Muncy. You could move Muncy, but I mean the Dodgers have enough free agents of their own to deal with. So, I don't see that. I think that they were willing to pay him the Goldschmidt deal. I believe that was 6 for $130. So, at this point, I think he's going to beat that, get 6 for $150. I think that was 5 for $130. So, I think he's going to get the sixth year and get $150 million and stay hometown with the Braves. Maybe that'll be considered a little bit of a discount. I don't know, but I don't see him going elsewhere, and it would be a shame if he did, because he is a great Brave.
Here's the thing. I don't see him going elsewhere this year. I've said that the entire year. However, I can see a scenario in which he ends up a Dodger. Dodgers let Seager go, or he ends up walking and going elsewhere. Mm-hmm. You slide Turner over to short, Max Muncy. He's now back at second base, and now you have a first base spot available. So I'm just throwing that out there. I could see a scenario in which that happens.
The
Astros obviously have been dealing with the Carlos Correa situation all season long. They couldn't come to a deal before spring started, so he will be a free agency. There does seem to be a little bit of bubbling in terms of him maybe returning. Where do you see Carlos Correa ending up?
Yeah, I'm hearing that bubbling. They were pretty far apart, though. It had offered 5 for $125, 6 for $120 at one point, up that to 5 for $125, I believe. So I think Detroit's going to come hard for him. They're not saying that now, but they're going to try to do something. They certainly took a big step. A.J. Hinch, who's old manager from the Astros, is there. Correa, only 27 years old, had a great platform year. What a defensive player is. I tweeted and I got a lot of pushback or some pushback that he might be the best defensive player at any position. I just think he's a terrific, terrific defensive player. He finally moved into the number three spot last night for the game. He otherwise had been batting fifth. Very good offensive player. To me, he's a better player than Lindor. But, you know, Lindor had the right timing with the richest owner taking over the team. So I don't think he's going to beat the $341 million. But, I picked 10 for 300 on MLB Network. I said he's similar to Machado, one of the best defensive players in the game and an outstanding hitter. So I think 10 for 300. It's certainly a long way from 120 or 125, whatever they offered. You know, is it possible Houston doubles that? It's possible. I wouldn't rule it out. So I think that's a chance, but I'm going to say Detroit can get Correa.
Detroit. Interesting. Robbie Ray, probably the surprise of the this free agent list, had a terrific year with the Blue Jays this year. Where do you see him going?
Yeah, I picked the Yankees for him. I don't have anybody for the Giants among these top players, and they got a lot of free agents and a lot of money, and they do a great job. So we'll see. Someone's going to sign with the Giants, but the Yankees definitely need another starting pitcher, and his success in that division. He had a great year. I mean, he's probable Cy Young winner, and he pitched in Dunedin and Buffalo. I mean, it was not an easy year, and got to give him credit. I think he's in that Zach Wheeler category. He's a little bit of a gamble because he had trouble throwing strikes, which is how they got him in that bargain 1 year, $8 million. Walker, their pitching coach, did a great job with him. And, maybe Toronto keeps him too, but I'm going to say Yankees. And I think he's in that category of Wheeler. So I'm going to say 5 for $115 for Ray.
Last but not least, Nick Castellanos of the Reds had two terrific seasons in Cincinnati. Where does he go? How much does he get?
You know, I saw somebody write Colorado. I kind of like that one, but I picked Milwaukee. Yeah. I picked Milwaukee because Avisail Garcia is going to be a free agent. He's going to be able to opt out with a mutual option. And I think Castellanos gets over $100 million. Now he's got to opt out too. He's got 2 years and $34 million. He will do that. And then they will give him the qualifying offer. But boy, the year he had with a OPS around 950. I see him getting 5 for $125. It's a pretty good year for outfielders. Conforto obviously didn't have his usual year, but he's going to be in that nine-figure range. And you've got Marte, who had a fantastic finish with Oakland, really good player as well. You've got Schwarber, who's a really good hitter. I think he's better in the outfield than first base. I give him credit. Good attitude about playing first base, but I got Castellanos for 5 for $125. And Milwaukee needs some offense. Somehow they need to improve it. They need to shake it up. They need to get Yelich back. But I'm going to say they get Castellanos 5 for $125. But I like that pick by Colorado that I saw somebody make.
Castellanos would be a beast in that in that stadium with Milwaukee. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Thank you for tuning in to Big Time Baseball. Make sure you check back every Monday for new episodes. Myself, John Heyman, Cody Decker will always be with you. Every episode is on the Odyssey app, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcast. Until next week, for myself, Tony Gwynn Jr., my partner, John Heyman, we'll check you next week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.